everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go.
Welcome to Chase Oaks. We are so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us on this 4th of July weekend. Hope you had a good time with your family and friends and didn't blow up anything too serious. And we are kicking off a brand new series called No Regrets, some decisions that you and I can make that our future selves will thank us for. And the thing that we're going to zoom into today, the decision that I think that you and I get to make that our future selves will go, man, I'm really glad that you made that decision is, it's the people that we build our life around, the relationships that we decide to nurture, the friendships that we decide to invest in. And while I would love to kick off today's message by saying, choose your friends wisely, well, I get the notion of that. It's just not all that practical because it would be awesome if we could go to, you know, awesomepeople.com and just choose friends, you know what I'm saying? But that's not how it works. Because, like, if I got to choose my friends wisely, I would choose Stephen Curry, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get to pick friends now? I'm choosing Cooper Flagg. I'm choosing Luka Doncic. Like, if I get to choose my friends, it's like, we don't get to choose our friends. Most of the time, our friendships are a product of our environment, perhaps the neighborhood you chose to move into. It's like now these are your friends, or perhaps the parents of your kid's sports team. Like these are your friends now, or maybe you just came to this church and maybe years ago you had no friends and now like the friends that you have are a product of the environment. We don't always get to choose our friends and we don't always get to choose our environment, but we do get to choose how we show up with the relationships that we have all around us. If you think about it, we started forming friendships in elementary or a daycare. Our parents dropped us off, drove away, okay? And all of a sudden, you're in this room and you gotta figure some stuff out really, really fast, okay? You're like, I kinda like these people, I don't like these people, but I'm stuck with them for the next 8 hours/12 years. And so you then have to figure that whole thing out. Then in college, you start to get to make a little bit more decisions, like, okay, I've moved away from you guys, I've got a little bit more freedom. If I don't like this, I can just leave at any time, like, okay, that's great. And then you're like, okay, I got this job. You're like, I kind of like these people, but if I leave, they're going to take away all my money. So there's some consequences there. And so you start making some decisions. By the time you're in your 30s and 40s and you've grown, now you're like, relationships can just get a little complicated, especially when you're navigating introvertedness and extrovertedness and people be inviting you to stuff that you don't want to go to. And you're like, I ain't got to go no more. Like I used to have to go, like now I don't. And so some people, they're just like, people, and they'll just run up to you and go, I'm a hugger. You're like, I'm not a hugger. So now you forced, you know, a hug on me that I didn't want. And some people, you can't respond with, I'm a germaphobe, fist bump. You see what I'm saying? Like, it could just get a little dicey. Jeff Jones and I, like, Jeff is awesome. You know, Ryan, let's hang out. I got a ski trip coming up. You should come. Jeff, do I look like I would survive a ski trip? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to come back to Chase Oaks with a neck brace and a knee brace. I'm like, hey, Chase Oaks, good to see you today. It's like, what happened to you? I hung out with Jeff. That's what I did, you know? And some people are like, man, I love going to weddings. Some people are like, they cringe with weddings. Some people are like, come stay at my house when you're in town and sleep on my couch and we'll cook for you. I'm like, brother, I travel and speak for a living. All I do is stay in hotels. If I got to choose between the JW Marriott or your couch, I'm picking Marriott every single time, okay? And then it's like, man, I want to cook for you. I'm like, but what if you're not a good cook? And like, who's going to tell you? That's a lot of pressure on me. And that's a meal that I'm going to lose because we don't know where you're at in life. And so I get for all of us, depending on our age and our extrovertedness, our introvertedness, it can be a little challenging to even just walk in a church and go like, where do I sit? Where do I fit? And where are my friends? And so today I'm going to give us three things that I think that each and every one of us can do. You don't always get to choose your friends, but you do get to choose how you show up for the people that are around you. And while
oh, we might all choose better friends. I think the best that we can do is choose to be a better friend. Sometimes the onus is surround yourself with good people. Well, I just want you to think about that. Again, I don't know that that's all that practical, because just imagine there's a whole group of good people over there, right? And you're a bad person, right? And so you're gonna go ruin their circle. You see what I'm saying? It's like, no. Like, you get to make a decision today. Say, you know what? I am going to make a decision that my future self will be proud of, that says, you know what? I wanna be the kind of good person that other people should surround themselves with. Why? Because that's what you can actually control. And if you're the kind of person that says, man, I want to be a good person, well, I think you're always going to have people that say, man, I actually want to be around this person because they bring value to my life. Whether you're introverted or extroverted today, we all need people, whether we believe it or not. In fact, you were created for that. You were created for a community, a body of people to bring value to, and for that same community and body of people to bring value right back. It's a two-way street. You're not just looking for a group of people in your life that are just gonna make your life easier. No, you're looking for a group of people in life that you go, man, how can I add value to this room, to this space, to this job? And perhaps it will be reciprocated. And so the first thing this weekend that I think we all need to know in the kind of friendships that we need is we all need friendships where we can be called on. We all need friendships where we can be called on. We all need friendships where we can use a word that isn't very popular for a lot of us, and it's the word help. Help me. In fact, each and every one of us has at least one friend that got divorced, and when they did, we said, dude, I didn't even know. I didn't even know you were having trouble. And by the time we could offer help, it was too late. And as good of friends as you are, there wasn't enough space for them at some point to just go, help me. And so what can happen with you and I is we can just have a bunch of relationships that are status quo relationships. But I love what we see from the Apostle Paul. He says this really low-key line about Timothy in the book of Philippians. He says this. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Paul's going, hey, here's the deal, Church of Philippi. I've got this guy, he's on the way, and I trust this guy. This is a genuine guy. This is not a guy that's just playing games, that's just having conversations just to have conversations. No, this is a person that is authentic. This is a person that is going to be a real pastor to you, somebody that's gonna really show up for you. And I just think, man, do we have that? Or do we just have a bunch of relationships that would be defined by common courtesy? And common courtesy gets us what? What I like to call a drive-by check-in culture. And we've experienced it, especially at church. Hey, how you doing? Good. Yeah, blessed. You good? Yeah, good. We're great. We're awesome. Hey, how's the family? Solid. We're good. You guys good? Yeah, we're good. We're good. Hey, how's work? Man, it's good. You good? Yeah, we're good. I mean, what do you do if you're not good? Like, name the last time you were in church and you're like, hey, how you doing? They're like, depressed. How about you? Nobody says that. Nobody would say that. Like I got this friend, big name preacher, and you know, his child, unfortunately, was just making some terrible decisions and found himself in a rehab facility. And then me and this friend were hanging out with some people, and somebody asked the question, hey, how's the family? He was like, good. I was like, really? You're far from it, if we're honest. But the problem is do we even have any friendships where we can be honest. In fact, I'm in several group chats. I don't know how many group chats you're in. You know, some of them add zero value to your life. Some of them you're just kind of got stuck in, and maybe it was an Android person that trapped you into this group chat, and you can't leave it if you want to, and so you're just there, and you're just getting all of these messages all the time, and there's nothing you can really do about it except call them and say, I don't want to be your friend anymore, but that would be rude, and so you just get the text messages. Nevertheless, I'm in a fantasy football group chat, and we're just going in there jib-jabbing about absolute nonsense all the time. And then one guy in the group chat said, hey, have you talked to this person? And I was like, no. And they said, yeah, he had 3 panic attacks last week and was in the emergency room. Yet he's the leader of the group chat. He sends more memes and links, and it's like as if nothing's going on. And I love this scripture in Colossians chapter 4. It says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let your conversations be worth something, like that there might be some substance to these conversations. And I can't speak for women, but I can speak for guys that it would just be kind of easy for us just to talk about sports. It's easier just to go, oh man, what's going on with the Cowboys? You're depressed, I'm depressed, let's talk about it. And so, like, it's just be easier to talk about the Mavericks. It'd be just easier to talk about it would just be easier to just talk about barbecue and motorcycles and for us not to really talk about anything. In fact, one of my best friends, a couple of weeks ago, he sent me a very simple text, a text that a lot of us men got, and it simply said this. It said, Happy Father's Day. I said, yeah, you too, bro. Talk to you tomorrow. Very, very, very simple text. And then the next day I called him, and something was wrong with his voice. I said, hey, man, are you okay? He said, I'm not. I said, what's going on? He said, my son tried to take his life Friday night. And I said, but bro, you said, Happy Father's Day on the worst Father's Day of your life, and it was anything but happy. My friends, I want to encourage us today to be the kind of people in all of our relationships to move just a little bit slower, to be the kinds of friends that can go, hey, how you doing? And they go, good. And you just go, hey, are you sure? How are you? How are you really doing? And if your family wasn't good, what would it look like and how can I help? I mean, I think that you and I have a grand opportunity to have some genuine friendships. If you're in middle school, you're in high school, and you're listening today, if you could start early with some of these intentional relationships, you will build the kind of people skills that they go, man, when I talk to them, I'm talking to a real person. They say the next generation, because of the digital overload, they don't know how to act in person. And so I encourage you to be the kind of friend that says, you know, I can have genuine conversations. I can be the kind of friend that can be called on, not just in the dark times, but also in the good times. It's interesting how we hide our wins and our losses. It's like we just keep everything at the status quo with one another. I don't want you to know when I'm losing. I don't want you to know when I've lost my job. I don't want you to know when we're thinking about getting a divorce. I don't want you to know if my kid is struggling in school. I don't want you to know these things, and so I've got a level of privacy on that. But I also don't really want you to know my wins, because sometimes, well, that can get a little bit weird. In fact, if you have one of those friends that you don't have to shrink around, that's rare. And you should value that at the highest level. Like somebody that doesn't make a weird calculation of when they hear something good happening for you, they compare it to all of the bad that's happening to them. That somebody that can clap for your promotion while they're still on the grind. Somebody that can be exuberant for your engagement while you're still waiting. Like somebody that, like, when your house sells, they give you a high five while yours is still on Zillow.
Like somebody that's just going, I'm not doing a comparison of my life to yours. I'm actually just your friend. I'm here. I'm happy for you. And I can genuinely be happy for you. And you don't actually have to hide who you really are around me, good or bad. What we can control is the kind of friend that we are. And you should be the kind of friend that can celebrate other people's wins and not make it about you. You can make it about them. Man, I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad that your kid's doing awesome in sports and mine suck at it. And so that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. And I can just leave it there. Like I don't have to compare your kids to my kids. It's just like, no, I'm just really genuinely happy for them. If you can be that, woo, you can be one of those rare friends. And I'm just telling you, if you show up that way, your future self will go, man, I'm really glad that you invested in these relationships that were really, really genuine. Like if you're a couple here and you've got some friends and you get to go on a double date, I think at some point at that dinner, there needs to be some honesty, some level of intentionality, something that changes the conversation at the dinner table that sometimes goes, hey, how could we be praying for you guys? Hey, what's the toughest thing that you guys are dealing with in year 13 that we can call on God for you? Now we're not just sharing appetizers at Cheesecake Factory. Now it's not about chips and guac. Now it's like, okay, we're actually being friends. I love what we see in 1 Samuel. It says, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. And I think we all need a Jonathan. I think we all need somebody in our life that when we don't have strength ourselves, we could call on them to help us find strength in God. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine your dad trying to kill one of your best friends and you got to show up for them and say, hey, I know my dad's crazy. However, let me help you find strength in God. Imagine if you had that in your darkest hour. Imagine if you just decided to be that in somebody else's darkest hour. Here's what I guarantee you. Somewhere in your world, in your job, in your neighborhood, in your friendship circle, there is somebody right now that needs to find some strength in God. And I think to myself, thank God they got you. If you decide to be the kind of friend that can be called on, that takes it to another level, that just decides to be intentional. You go, Ryan, I'm really not that good at praying. Use ChatGPT, okay? Like, do something. Go, hey, I know you're in a dark place, ChatGPT. Help me show up for my friend. Guess what? How many friends do they have that would even put that prompt in ChatGPT? So you're still being a good friend. You're going to, I don't know how to do this well, but I'm going, man, how can I be the kind of person that shows up for my friends to be the kind of person that others can call on? Second kind of friendships I think that we need. I think we all need friendships where we can be called out. Where we can be called out. You may not like this second point because you're like, I don't need any mean friends, Ryan. I already got those, okay? Like, but we're not talking about mean friends. We're talking about intentional friends. Now, I love what Proverbs 27 verse 6 says. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And I realize that we can have an interesting value system when it comes to friendship. I want loyalty. I want somebody that is ride or die. I'm like, why can't we just ride or go to the movies? Why is death the other option? Like, I gotta die with you? It's like, we're not that close. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't understand. Like, that's serious. It's like, and so you want this person to say, man, my best friend would lie for me. Why are they lying for you? What are you doing that merits somebody else having lies? So now you got two liars in the mix. It's like, no, that's not a good relationship. And I don't know where we got the value system on this from, but no, it's like, hey, you want to have a friend that if you're lying, they go, hey, you're lying. And you should stop because it's going to ruin your life. And I'm a good enough friend to tell you, you're lying. And I'm a better friend than somebody that would lie for you. Somebody that will actually get your back after you lied. I've just decided that, no, sometimes you got to raise your hand and go, hey, she's not your wife. Yet you're kiki-kiing and with her in the corner. I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just a good enough friend to just go, hey, my future self is going to thank me for being honest with you and being able to go, hey, I would rather hurt you today than watch you self-destruct later. I'm not saying anything about the woman. I'm not saying anything about you. I'm just saying I noticed some things that perhaps are a little bit inappropriate. Hey, I made a great pitch today, man. That was great. But man, let's just be honest. We fudged the numbers, man. And for what? Why can't we just be good enough to where we don't have to fudge the numbers? Why not just be the real us? Hey, man, if you're honest, you're not even trying that hard. You're not even bringing your best to the table. We need friendships where we can be honest, where we can go, hey, where we could raise, say, hey, I maybe it's not a red flag, but I'm a good enough friend to call it a yellow flag at minimum, isn't it? So what would it look like for us to just slow down? I mean, haven't we all had a friend that started dating somebody and they were really excited and we were like, but they're a criminal and I don't know if you want to serve a sentence with them. I'm just nervous. And if you've been a criminal before, that's okay. God loves you, but maybe not get in the dating relationship right away, you know? So it's like they're on some level, there is this like, we've seen our friends and we're like watching the movie, but we're just watching and we're saying nothing until they break up. And then after they break up, after 6 months, you're like, I never liked them in the first place. I just didn't want to say anything. You're like, where have you been for 6 months? And here's how this works on a two-way street. I can't tell you how many people I know where destruction was happening in their life and all of their friends around them were going, I just can't say anything. Here's what your future self won't regret. Being the kind of person in your relationships that go, hey, is there anything that you can see that I can't? Is there any blind spots in my life? Is there anything that you would be afraid to tell me because you're afraid of how I would react that I desperately need to hear? You just don't want to be the person that other people secretly can't have real conversations with. No, you want to be the kind of friendship that says, no, I can be called out. I love what we see in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David, king's giant slayer. David's the guy in the Old Testament. Everybody wants to be David. 1 Samuel 8 just breaks down his resume. It's his LinkedIn profile. It's like he just wins all of these victories. He's that guy. But by the time we get to 2 Samuel 11, he's got a lot of victories. And the scripture tells us that at a time when kings went to war, he stayed home. And he ends up having an affair with a woman named Bathsheba and tries to cover it up. Ends up getting her husband murdered in battle. He's spiraling slowly, but he's still king. But he actually can't see it in the mirror. And so the prophet Nathan comes to him and tells him a story. He says, hey, man, there was this really rich guy that had a lot, and he took away from a guy that had very little. And David says, this man should die. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7,
the prophet Nathan just simply said this. He says, yeah, you're the man. You're the guy. I mean, do you have anybody in your life that can just tell you when you're wrong? Say, you just missed the mark. Hey, you're wrong. Hey, you lost it at that soccer game, and you just, I know the refs cheated, but like we got to get the anger under control, okay? The YMCA said this was just for fun. It doesn't look like that's happening for you at all. And so, hey, are you okay? Like, we all need somebody in our life that can go, hey, you have missed the mark, but you will not have those kind of relationships unless you give somebody permission to actually do that. I've told all my friends, hey, here's the deal. You see something, don't let me get 10 years down the road and you go, man, we wanted to say something when you were 32, but man, now that you're 52, oops, my bad. It's like, you don't want those kinds of relationships. And it's not just, again, it's not just calling you out when things are bad. Sometimes it's calling you out when you're settling for less. In fact, my wife's best friend, her name is Vasti, and she is a very feisty individual, to say the least. She's an Enneagram 8. She keeps it real. She speaks her mind. She's loud on purpose. Okay, like she knows what she's doing. Okay, she's a force to be reckoned with. And we were all in our kitchen at one point and just hanging out. And she said, "Hey Ryan, what's the next book that you're working on?" And my previous two books, I had really bad experiences with the publishing side of things, and it was very draining. I felt like I became my worst self when I'm working on a book, and I just said, hey, I think books are out of the cards for me. It's very draining. I don't like who I become when I'm writing a book. I said, hey, I'm actually done writing. And in that kitchen, she goes, "God's not done with you yet." I said, "Well, I'm just trying to eat right now, and I was just kind of responding to your question." And I said, "You know, I'm like, I'm not doing books anymore." And she goes, "God's not done writing with you yet, Ryan. And I refuse to let you believe a lie that you're not doing it anymore." And my latest book, How to Work with Complicated People, it hit the New York Times bestsellers list. And when it did, like the third person that I called was Vasti. And I said, "If you wouldn't have called me out, I wouldn't be here today. You pulled me off the bench because I had thrown in the towel. I'd given up. I said, I don't want to do it. I said, there's many ways I can impact and add value to the world around me without writing a book." And she said, "Yeah, but I don't think that's God's plan for your life. Cute speech. But you're wrong. You got to have somebody in your life that does that for you. And if given permission, be that for somebody else. Be the kind of person that's willing to point a finger when somebody is believing a lie." And honestly, I love asking that question to a friend. Oh, I love sitting at lunch and go, "Hey, is there any lie that you've been believing lately?" Just get them thinking. And in fact, they almost always have an answer. Maybe it's I'm not good enough. Maybe my marriage will never get better. Maybe it's I don't have what it takes to start a business. And what you do is you're actually giving yourself an alley-oop to go, "That's not true. That's not true." And you get to flood them in that moment with the truth. I mean, just imagine if you were that kind of friend. Why? Because you needed it. I did. And so I just have to wonder what it would look like for us to have some friendships where we can't just be called on, but we can also be called out. The last thing that I want us to talk about this weekend is I think we all need friendships where we can be called up. Where we can be called up. There's a powerful story in Acts chapter 14 where Paul is preaching and it's going well, and then it all of a sudden just takes a dark turn. And in fact, he was preaching, and I really can't imagine this happening like here today, but they actually ended up dragging him outside the city and stoning him, okay? Like, I can't imagine all of you just revolting against me right now and trying to stone me. First off, y'all wouldn't be able to catch me, so that's first and foremost. So get that out of your mind right now, okay? And my car's fast, too, so I'll be gone, okay? You can chase me, but good luck, okay? But nevertheless, I just can't imagine, like, preaching the gospel and it just going so bad that people go, let's kill this guy. And Acts 14, verse 20 says something interesting. It says, but as the believers gathered around him, he got up. The scripture actually tells us he was left for dead outside the city. And he should have died. The Apostle Paul should have died in Acts chapter 14, which is interesting. It's literally a halfway mark of the book of Acts. It's like, no, but God's not done with the Apostle Paul yet. And the only reason we only get another second half of his story is because, well, there were some believers outside the city that surrounded him. And the scripture doesn't tell us what they did, but I have a sinking suspicion it went down that day, okay? And there was something inside those believers that said, in the name of Jesus, we pray for our friend, the Apostle Paul, and in the name of Jesus, get back up. And all of a sudden, life started to come back in his lungs, and he gets back up. Here's what's also crazy. If I go preach somewhere and I get dragged out of the city and they kill me and then my friends resurrect me, the last thing that I'm doing is going back into the exact same city. If I get back up, I go, thank you, Jesus. All right, man, let's catch a plane. Let's get out of here. These people are crazy. No, the Apostle Paul gets back up and says, thank you for that. Let's go for round two. The only way you're going to do that is if you're surrounded by some believers. It would be really great if we all had some friendships where we had some good friends. But let me just tell you what your future self is going to thank you for is if you have some faith friends. Not some good friends. I'm talking about the kind of friends that can help you get back up when you have fallen off the horse. I'm talking about the kind of friends that in the middle of a diagnosis, in the middle of a divorce, in the middle of a bankruptcy, in the middle of a relapse, you call these people. And what connects you is not sports talk. What connects you is somebody that understands the power of divine assistance. I am talking about when all of your remedies and resources have run dry, you call this person and say, hey, I got you. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you meet my friend right where they're at? You want to know what was really exciting for me? Is my friend, whose son who tried to take his life, my favorite part of the week was when he called me with his son on speakerphone. That's when you're friends. Hey, it's Uncle Ryan. I just wanted to let you know God's got a plan for your life. And the reason I did that isn't because I'm awesome. The reason I did that is because it's what he would do for me. He would call my son right now and speak life over him. Do you have any not good friends? Do you have any faith friends when yours is really, really low? Somebody that can help your faith breathe again. I love what we see in Mark chapter 2. It's interesting. News about Jesus is spreading all over town. There's a ruckus that begins to happen. And Jesus sells out a home where he is just teaching the scripture. And there is a man who is paralyzed. Okay, he's sitting on a mat, can't move. Perhaps him and his four friends are playing spades, okay? And he's just watching them play spades, and all of a sudden, those four friends see a bunch of people just run by. It's Jesus. I heard he can hit. Hey, man, we're going on a field trip. And if you're paralyzed, you don't really get a say. You know what I'm saying? You're just there. You're like, guys, can we not today? No. We're going to take you to this guy. It's your last hope. Anyways, what do you have to lose? And then they get to the house, and it's bad news because the crowd was, it was so packed in the house. They're like, man, we thought we were going to get to Jesus today, but not if it's full like this. And there's always that one guy in the group. He goes, I got an idea. What if we climb the roof? And if you're the paralyzed guy, you're going, guys, please, not today, okay? Please, I do not want to die this way. You'll be fine. Get the rope. And you know, there's always one leader of the group, and you're like, how is this going to work? And also... just so you know, scholars tell us, some of us have heard this story a lot, but I actually went on like a deep dive study of what the kind of house this was. They say it would have actually taken these four friends 2 hours to bust through the roof. 2 hours. Imagine if you're Jesus, right? And you're preaching. And the crowd is oohing and aahing, and all of a sudden you hear above, duh, duh. You're like, you would think somebody would be like, hey Jesus, could you just pause for a second? And you would think one of the ushers or one of the volunteers would run out and go, hey, could you guys stop that? We got Jesus here on the inside, and he's talking to us, and you're making a ruckus. But Jesus doesn't tell them to do anything. Jesus just keeps talking for hours while they're thudding on the roof. By the time they busted a hole through there, it's like, hey, guys, you good? And then one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Here's a paralyzed guy here's the crazy thing. Nothing about him says that he actually believes in Jesus. His friends do. His faith friends do, that are crazy enough to climb a roof and bust through it and work in the heat of the day for a couple hours to get them to Jesus. At some point, you got to ask yourself, at this point in your life, are you the person on the mat or are you the crazy faith friend climbing a roof? And guess what? This is how life works. Sometimes you switch places. Sometimes you need a crazy faith friend to carry you on a roof that you don't actually even want to be on to get to Jesus. I'm willing to bet there is somebody here today, and your crazy faith friend drags you to church, and they've been begging you to come for a very, very long time. Welcome to Chase Oaks. We're glad you're here. But let me just tell you why they've been begging you to come. They know God has a plan for your life. And so they would leverage all of their relational equity to get you in the building and say, maybe today God will touch my friend's life in a way that changes them forever, and they need a situation to turn around. And so, yes, I will do everything in my power to get them into the building, get them into the environment that gives them a chance to experience the presence of God in a tangible way, that their life is never the same. Hey, by the way, if you got that kind of friend, that's a good friend. Hold on to that friend. Because the world wishes they had a friend like that, a faith friend that is beyond common interest. No, a faith friend that says, I will call on divine assistance to help you. That person cares about your life, and we're glad you decided to come to church today. I think all of us, wherever we find ourselves in our friendships, whatever age we find ourselves in, I think we've got to first be very intentional about the relationships we have. And I also think we've got to be open to some new relationships. Sometimes you can kind of go, no, I'm set. I don't need any new friends. Please just stop messing around with my friendship circles like it's MySpace and our top 8. You know what I'm saying? First off, if you don't know what MySpace is, Oh, Lord, help me. But MySpace was this old website where you like get to, everybody get to choose their top friends, and you could do like a top 8, you could do a top 16 or a top 32. None of this. I got like 100 friends. No, I got 8. You understand? Like that was back in the day. But nevertheless, if you're like, man, I'm not sure if I'm open to new relationships, I'll be honest, I can be that way. I'm with you. And a friend of mine put me in a group chat that I did not volunteer to be in and said, you guys should know each other. And it was this guy named Ken Locke. And I was like, I don't want to know Ken. I don't need any new friends. I already got good friends. And so it's just like, hey, Ken, nice to meet you. You can have 30 minutes on Tuesday. And he was kind of feeling the same way. And it's just like, you know, we're both black and our friend was white. And it was just like, do you just think we should be friends? It was like, what is going on here? We both were kind of like, okay, I mean, nice to meet you. You know, and a 30-minute Zoom turned into a 3-hour phone conversation. And I turned into like an 8-year-old afterwards because I walked into the kitchen and I was like, hey, bae. She was like, what's up? I go, I made a friend today. She was like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, I know. It's weird. Like, I think he's like my best friend. I don't want to say that early because it's like creepy, but it's like, babe, you wouldn't believe, but it was like brother from another mother. And today is, I would say he checks every box here. He's somebody that if I needed something, I could call on him right now. He's also somebody that could go, hey Ryan, I saw that post. I think you should take it down. I don't think it really represents you the way that you think it does. Hey, man, I really appreciate you getting my back. Thank you for saying that. And he's also a person that if something was going on with my kids, if something was going on in our marriage, if something was going on in my business, if I found myself in a very, very dark place, he's somebody that would call me up. If you all dragged me out of the city and left me for dead, if I was surrounded by this guy, he's the guy that would pray. He's a faith friend. And in fact, he'll send me a voice memo every now and then at like 4 or 5 in the morning. He just said, the Lord just put you on my heart and I just wanted to call on God for you. And if I didn't take that Zoom, who knows? I would have missed out on what I believe is a divine friendship. Yeah, perfectpeople.com doesn't exist. But chaseoaks.org does. And I have to wonder if your next step is finding a small group that you really don't want to be in at all. But I have to wonder if on the other side of a couple of clicks and then filling out a little bit of information and getting past some awkward celery and Doritos that are stale, after all of that, I wonder if on the other side of that is a friend you can call on, is a friendship where you can be called out, and perhaps some friendships where you can be called up when your marriage might need some resurrection. When your career might need a do-over, you find yourself in life not alone, but surrounded by some believers who can help you get back up. That's my hope. That's my prayer for you and I, that we would invest in those kinds of friendships. And I think when we do that, well, I think our future selves will not regret those kinds of relationships. God, I thank you so much for Chase Oaks today. Lord, I pray for our friendships. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just have friendships that are just a product of our environment. I pray, God, that we would just live with an incredible amount of intentionality. Would you help us be open to new friendships? Would you help us take care of the current relationships? Would you help us be the kinds of friends that truly can be called on? And Lord, whenever we need someone to help us get back on track, Lord, I pray that we would be open to that. And And Lord, when we find ourselves in a dark place, I pray, God, that we would be surrounded by some not just good friends, but some faith friends that can help us get back up. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.